Christine Marie and Julie. More life.
More life. I'm Christine Marie.
I'm Julie.
That's right. And we're the girlfriends. We're also mother and daughter.
And today, we're going to have a great show.
Oh, I can't wait.
Even though we've had a little bit of a mother-daughter tension.
Mother-daughter tension.
Mother-daughter tension.
Oh, no.
It's sort of like if you're a mother and you're a daughter, you know what that means. And if you're not a mother and daughter, but I say we're allowed to have tension once in a while. We're in each other's lives quite a bit, and sometimes.
But the show must go on.
Exactly. Meaning, let's keep going. Let's move from the conversation.
Let's what?
Let's not talk about the conversation and move on. But we do have a good show today because I want to talk about a couple of different things. I want to talk about how on Saturday I had a good morning. It wasn't a morning that was planned, and it was all in, you know, I was listening to a lot of positive messaging, you know, and feeling really good. And I had a birthday party I had to go to, and I was criticized for feeling so good.
you had come to your birthday party, wasn't yours, but
no.
Uplifted and
kind.
Happy,
and
compassionate.
Nice. Yeah, really
and
trying.
And everybody
to
was like, what? Can you just leave us alone?
Right. And I said, well, you know, we'll talk about that. Because I also want to start off the show with a little bit of a kind of review of what happened last week a little bit, just for a brief second. But if you don't know who we are, we're Christine Marie and Julie, and we're mother and daughter. I'm the daughter, and as you may know, we're both coaches, life coaches, and also, Mom, you're a psychotherapist.
That's right. Authors.
Psychotherapist. I'm going to say awesome, Mom.
Effect.
Yes.
That's our book, The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation. How? By decluttering your life. And we mean decluttering in all sorts of ways, getting out the crap so you can feel lighter and brighter and happier.
Right. And sometimes those crap just kind of stays around too long, and you can clear it once, and it pops back up again.
Gotta shake it.
I remember doing tarot.
You can get it at Amazon.com.
Yeah. Yay, Amazon. I remember doing tarot cards years ago, and this was a time when I was really seeing psychics and tarot cards, and kind of behind is disappointing, disappointed, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because I did a lifespan for a tarot card reading. And I think it was funny because my journeys, my whole life journeys, I guess a problem or what I'll have to always work with and contend with is organization. Like I will always be in some sort of confusion, chaos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This was what the reading said?
Yes,
oh, okay.
The reading said, and that I'll have to really work on that because I don't tend to be organized. I don't tend to, and your life will always, you know, kind of veer towards chaos, disorganization, and
that's interesting.
Yes, it was interesting, and I guess I don't know if they're being they're preaching over me and saying your life will be.
They're prophesying that.
Yeah, like,
you know, it's interesting because I don't necessarily see that. I mean, I think that you are more of a now person. Like you can do a now job. You know, like you
right.
can just do that. But in essence, though, I used to always kind of appreciate that you had sort of that you could be farsighted, like. You know, when we have this sectional, this like a pit section, really. I don't know what you call it, but and I was looking to get it reupholstered, and you know, I said, well, what are we going to use while it's you know being reupholstered? And you went, well, Mom, let's just take one a month into the place and get it done. I mean, literally, it took like half a year.
Yeah,
But, you know, it was kind of graceful, and I would never have thought about that.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, that seems to be you as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's interesting you said that, because the truth is, she could only do one piece at a time anyway, our first new post.
That's right.
Sofa, so
that's right.
Why give it to her all at one time?
That's right.
And so that, you know, that was going on and so forth. But, excuse me, lost my little voice a little bit. And so I don't know what I was going to say. So I always feel that that's my goal in life is to strive for less clutter, less mm-hmm. things going on, mm-hmm. less stress, less things that I'm more organization.
Yes.
And I don't. There are people who do it so well. They know where every receipt's at.
Mm-hmm.
They know where everything's put. You know, everything has a place. Everything's put in its place.
Mm-hmm.
And I do my best, and sometimes I just fail. But mm-hmm.
Well, I do remember one time. Oh, I can't think of who's that money person. She's a female, blonde hair.
Yes.
Kind of.
Sandy. Susie Orna?
Yes. Oh. And
I know it's not Susie Orna, but it's close. What is it?
Susie
Orman.
Orman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't go with Orna.
I like that name.
Yeah. Susie Orna.
Yes. But I remember one time she said, you know, I can tell how you respect your money if I can see your wallet and see what you've done with how you do your money.
Mm, yeah.
And I remember her saying that, and I had always watched you because you just crumple up your money, and you don't necessarily even put it in a wallet. You just kind of just throw it in someplace, you know. And then I always thought, oh, I wonder if that's telling for Julie, you know, because I'm like, I have the ones, the fives,
yes,
the tens, the 20s, the 50s.
Yeah.
But you just like, yeah, I got it here. I know. And you know how much it is. Not like that, but it's just that you, I guess like you could say it wasn't organized. That would be, you know.
Right.
The
right.
tarot cards were right regarding
I
that.
I know. I'm sorry, girlfriend.
That's why you just use your bank card.
That's right.
You
that's
don't
exactly
have to
right.
have that.
Don't have to have that problem.
That nasty cash.
That's right. Exactly. But I want to... Yeah, we kind of had an interesting weekend, or week last week with our show,
mm-hmm.
because we were doing our show, you and I were having a pretty good show, and then all of a sudden, it just ended.
Mm-hmm.
We started getting phone calls.
And like, we kept wondering, what's going on?
Finally, so I got to take this. I'm like, you're not on the air anymore. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
So
it's like about 25 minutes into the show, we didn't know. We were just going.
So we apologized if they were listening, and we no longer were being heard, and what was going on, and so forth. But, girlfriends, so I want to ask you how your week's been.
How has my week been? Compared to, isn't that funny, because it just seems like yesterday that we were doing the show and got cut off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in between, I don't know, I think it was, I'm sort of in turmoil myself. I'm trying to be at peace. I'm trying to be at, you know, in grace and peace and love and joy. But I'm internally not content at this point, you know.
Right.
I want to project contentment. I want to project grace and joy. But I just feel like I'm a little up in the air about my life, you know, big life questions, you know. So what are you going to do, you know?
I
so,
know. What are you?
but I think I enjoyed my week. I enjoyed my puppy. I enjoyed being, you know, with Norm. And I think we've, you know, we're getting to a good place, you know, because we're spending so much time together that, and literally our whole lives. Norm's always been on the road, and, you know, so it's pretty interesting and intense and to be together day in, day out, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but I think we find a groove until he absolutely drives me crazy, and then I have to have a break from him, and then we get in the groove again, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know my whole life you're like, I just can't wait for us to be together.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, my gosh, we're together.
And then
holy
I'm like,
cow.
I ask myself this question every day. Who is this man?
Yeah.
and like, he'll come up with something. He'll say something. I wish I had a bunch of normisms, but he'll say something. I'm like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
You know, like, gosh, what was it today? Oh, we drove past this really beautiful home, and it had like about 7 or 8 really cool beach chairs, you know, the kind of Adirondack, mm-hmm. the wood chairs out in front, and with with a fire pit in front of it, you know. And I go, well, look at all those chairs. It just had a really awesome vibe, you know. Just was a big house, and then Norm goes, oh, I bet he's selling those chairs. I'm like, what? Where does that come from? You know, it's just, he goes, well, you wouldn't have that many chairs out in front unless you made them to sell, right? I'm like, where does that come from? You know, but he had just taken it in his head to this, where I thought this was a, you know, nice big house. It was very woodsy on
right.
the lake.
Right.
They had the 7 or 8, you know, awesome Adirondack chairs, kind of in a semicircle.
Was there a for sale sign on them?
No.
Oh, well, that would have been a good giveaway.
That would have been a giveaway, right?
That would have been like, yeah, for sale.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of funny today.
But then he alluded to it 2 or 3 times, like, you know, when, you know, I'm sure that guy makes those chairs to sell. I'm like, we know what that guy does. You know, it's the guy that has the solar light for construction.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Yes.
I mean, so it's like, you know, that's when I go, who is this man, you know?
Right. Oh, that's where, they wouldn't be for sale there.
No.
There's no one goes down that road.
No.
Except for you guys today.
Right, exactly.
On your travels. Yeah, I understand completely, because today I was spending a little bit of, we were dad and I time and working on gardening,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to give ourselves a very fixed amount of time, and I just was like, my God, he's moving in slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he moves in slow motion.
And so I do want to say, Mom, you know, you are an angel with your patience, because you know, you're living it every day.
Yes. 24/7, or
well,
as we say, 31.
Yes. But I do know that you are, your engines are a little bit more revved up than
yes.
Normano's.
Yes.
Just naturally,
yeah.
Yeah. And so that can clash in a lot mm-hmm. of different ways. And,
right.
you know.
And what's interesting is that his energy always, if I want to use the terms and win or lose,
right.
his energy always wins out, you know.
Right. Well, isn't the truth. And you don't want to say that. But the truth is, in relationships, there tends to be one person's energy that wins out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the more dominant one, even if the other person is more gregarious or, you know,
mm-hmm.
outgoing. There's
mm-hmm.
still there's one energy that just, you know,
mm-hmm. it's kind of called an albatross energy, the anchor energy.
Well, now anchoring energy is different than albatross.
Yeah, that's true.
but I guess it could be the same thing. I don't know. Depends where you put that anchor at.
Mm.
Are you anchoring into reality or anchoring
right.
down to the ground into the ocean
yes.
where you cannot breathe no longer?
That's right.
But I, you know, two weeks ago we had talked about our friend who moved to California from Canada,
mm-hmm.
and her experiences in the U.S., and how they were not that great,
mm-hmm.
and how she felt that we were slaved to a lot of things, such as the Mai dollar, and if you didn't have it, people didn't respect you,
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff. And I could see her, I could see her point in all this and so forth. And it was so interesting, because I really want to talk about the story. I want to talk about a couple of different things. I want to talk about the party that I went to and how, when you are really in a good space, like I was,
mm-hmm.
and trying to live in the world,
mm-hmm.
it can be very difficult. And how do you protect yourself?
It was annoying to a lot of people, what you're saying.
It was very annoying to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I first want to talk about this story, because we here at Love the Girlfriends, we want to bring you stories that really exemplify more life. You know, I think 2 weekends ago, we talked about Corey Ten Boom and her story about how she hid Jews during World War II. Her family did.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, it's a story that I feel like I can't complain about life sometimes.
Yeah, right. It's true, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
and
true.
This could be one of those stories, girlfriend. So I was listening to This American Life, love that podcast, and they were talking about, so basically in the fall of every year, across the world, we don't usually know about this because we're in America, the U.S. government holds a lottery. And it's a lottery on how to become a United States citizen. And they put up posters in different places across the world. And it's all about diversity visa. It's called a diversity visa lottery because they want to have a diverse group of people coming into America, mm-hmm. which I love because we mm-hmm. are a nation of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate the fact that we're still trying to have this diverse group of people coming in. I love that. And so what typically happens, and this story I want to share with you is a story of one of the people who won the lottery. And so I just can imagine, like, come fall in some places around the world, you see these posters up. Hey, it's time for the lottery. Have you put your name in?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, because they don't have their own computers or whatever, what happens is people apply, send the application online at these internet cafes. And so this one gentleman said at his one internet cafe, he had over 1,000 applicants do the lottery. And everybody
wow.
knows about it. So, you know, come the day.
What country was this, do you know?
Well, I think this was in Kenya.
Mm.
And so come the day of the lottery to be found out, they find out in May, typically. You know, everybody's like looking.
So they apply in the fall and they
find out in May.
Okay.
And so you get your number. You get like a little passcode number. And so in May, when you find out that it's been, you know, everybody knows who's won, you plug in your number to see if you've won. And this man won.
Wow.
Yes. And we're going to, I want to just.
How many does America offer a year?
Well, it's interesting. Okay. So 8 to 15 million. 8 to 15 million apply every year. But only 100,000 winners. Now, it doesn't mean that you get to go instantly, because
mm-hmm.
what happens is you have a whole year to, in some sense, get your affairs in order, because you're going to be having you're going to be vetted, and you're going to have a meeting
mm-hmm.
with a visa, you know, at the mm-hmm. at the U.S. embassy to see if you can get your visa and
can
so
I ask,
forth.
Like, for example, if you win, can you bring your family?
They don't talk about this. This person was a single man,
mm-hmm.
and I got the impression that you could bring your family over eventually.
Okay.
Eventually. And I'm going to keep my notes real quick. Okay. So anyway... So the gentleman we're going to follow, and I just want to share a little bit about his story, his name is Abdi Noor, and he was in Kenya. But what he really was he was a Somalian refugee.
Mm.
And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and Kenya
right
now has been going through terrorist attacks through the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
all based from Somalia, because Somalia is a war-torn country. And truly, Abdi talks about his knowing people that had gone, you know, taken a boat across the Mediterranean and never made it. And he was going to take a boat and try, but his family said, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he managed to get across the border into Kenya and start a life for himself. His brother had gone there before him,
mm-hmm.
and he had gone. And he was living with a lot of other Somalis, and I guess you might call it... I don't know if you want to call it like the projects of some sort,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
you know, just where all the Somalis are going and this is where they live.
Mm-hmm.
And they have jobs. Some have jobs. Some have jobs that are legal. And he did have a visa. He was able to get a visa to work in Kenya
mm-hmm.
and go to school in Kenya because he was going to school. But the one thing that they were talking about was his experiences, just like he, you know, when they would go to movies, the movies would be like watching someone's TV in front of a small TV, you know, on the floor, and that was their movie experience. And he taught himself English by watching American movies,
mm.
and he was known as a person who would know that knew English. And so, if nobody could figure it out, he would be the one that you would talk to and say, "What does this mean in the movie?" And he would tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, if he didn't know the word, he'd write it down and figure it out later. And in Kenya, he was actually teaching English.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is, you know.
Yeah.
So first of all, he's very
industrious. And then he won.
Yes, and he won. So he said from birth, or not from birth, but from the child, he was so fascinated with American culture that he knew he was going to go someday. And so what happened then... So here he was, some Somalian, living in Kenya, living in the projects. And so some of the things that we talk about would be like they would go and meet for tea. And the tea place was just another person in the apartment complex would bring out a little table in front and bring tea down.
How sweet.
And they would pay for that, you know. And so money was very, very tight.
Wow. It's so like there's a little tiny economy and culture right there
exactly,
in the project.
Exactly. And so he finds out he wins. And he's so excited. Mm. And now, he thought he gets to go right away, but no, that's not happening. That's not happening. He has a whole year to wait and get his affairs in order. And what this is all about is he needs to have a police sign off that he's okay, that he's not a criminal or a terrorist. He needs to have his transcripts from school. He needs to have some recommendations and referrals from people. All this in order in his application, and everything must be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Signatures are correct, this, and this, and this.
Wow.
And it takes a year.
Kind of like Illinois.
Yes, kind of like Illinois. Everything
takes a year.
Exactly. And so when they start the process, he was so excited. This reporter, he said, can I please follow you along this year? And he goes, sure, no problem. And he would check in with them once in a while. And what started happening was, first off, he asked them, like, okay, when you win the lottery with money, people talk about the time when you won and all your old friends come out of the woodworks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, want to be your new best friend.
Right, right.
How has it changed your life? And he goes, oh, I get that. It's a good question. He goes, where it's changed my life is that I'm getting more dates. Women are coming around. And he is.
Really?
Yeah. And he says he's a devout Muslim. And so there's no hanky business going on. And most Muslim women are very shy, he says. But there's one that he really, really likes. And he even said, he goes, I think I might be in love with her. But he's, you know, and she's very outspoken, very educated. And so forth. And so they're starting to date a little bit and love, and I guess, I don't know, I mean, that seems so fast for love, but when you're young and life feels good, right? So so he says, I think I might be falling in love with her, and it was very cute. And so
Does she have a chance to go to America with him?
Eventually, if they got married and he was able to bring her over.
Hmm.
I don't know the process of that. We don't really
either.
Get into that yet.
Right.
What we do know is that he goes. And they all say, his group of friends say, when you go, don't forget us, please. And typically what that means is like, send us a little bit of money maybe.
Oh.
Because the money ratio, $10 to him over in America might not mean as much as $10 to them might mean a whole, helping us significantly and so forth. So,
wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, over here, you can't go to KFC for under $30.
Not for a family of four, you can't. They say
ridiculous.
You can, but they've raised their prices.
Yeah.
And so I want real good chicken for that.
Yeah, and it's not.
Not ours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with them.
I don't know what KFC has to do. I'm just thinking, I'm sending you $10, you know. I'm like, over here, I wouldn't do anything, but.
Right.
You know.
So during this time, what starts to happen is there starts to be more and more terrorist attacks from Somalia's against Kenya. And the group is linked to Al-Shabaab. And it's a militant group in Somalia, opposed to the Somalian government. It's issued, threats against Kenya and all this stuff. I believe they're the ones that also were in that, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but in that mall. That
oh,
happened.
Really?
Yes. And they killed like 148 people at this one university in April. So, I mean, and every time something that would happen, Kenya police would crack down and they would do a raid in the Somalian, or in the projects, in these apartments.
Oh, where he's living?
Where he's living.
Okay.
And not ask too many questions. Just grab him and take him to, quote unquote, like a soccer field, where they would then be shipped back to Somalia or put in jail or whatever, because they just can't do it. So
I hope you're not going to say that.
I'm not going to tell you the answer yet.
All
what's
right,
going to happen?
All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to build suspense.
All right.
And so, the first couple of raids would come by. You never know when, and you could bribe them a little bit. You could say, okay, here's what I have. This is what all the money I have, or this is all I have. And they would take it or not take it, and they would let you go.
What do you mean? The police would could be bribed?
Yes.
Okay.
The police who are doing the raids in the beginning could be bribed.
Okay.
And so they could take all your money. And then and then they could come, a different police could come within an hour wanting the same thing, and you may not have any money then. They could take you. And so they, Abdi, who lived with his brother, was under this constant threat of fear of being taken, knowing that his deadline date, you know, was approaching to have his meeting and be vetted to go to America. And so at this stage of the story, we're counting down the days. We're like 55 days away from this meeting. And Abdi has seen his friends be taken away. Abdi has seen people just say, I have no more money, I have no more food, I'm just going to walk back to Somalia. What am I going to do? You know, things have gotten so horrible here. And they were actually staying really close with their neighbor friends, who were two women who had two children, and living in the projects. They were kind of watching each other. And finally, they just ran out of food, and they said, we're going to go back to Somalia. And they're like, no, stay. It's like, we can't. We don't have any more food. Even though we may get killed on the way, we may get raped, all these horrible things. It didn't matter because now the conditions were worse.
And not Somalia, but in Kenya.
Well, they're going to go back to Somalia from Kenya, mm-hmm. but on their way, when they start walking through Somalia to get to their villages or mm-hmm. wherever, mm-hmm. Or towns, because they may get killed.
Okay.
Bad things can happen. Mm-hmm. And so I really felt just this huge, me personally, this huge, like sometimes I can get just so, like, how dare I get complaining about my life?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how bad it is for people.
Mm-hmm.
And how they choose joy
in
the midst of it.
Yeah.
In the midst of it, you have a woman who is putting a little card table out to serve tea.
Right. Something that reminds you of, you know,
right.
life, a good
exactly.
life.
Exactly. And so a lot of times the reporter will call up or they'll do Skype, and it's like, what's going on now? Because, well, I'm in the closet. We've got all the windows closed. We've got everything blacked out. We can't have our lights on because we don't want to let anybody know we're home. Because if they know we're home, they're going to knock on our door. If they think we're already gone, we'll be okay.
When you say they, now you're referring to the police.
Yes.
Huh.
They want to do sweeps. They're trying to get the terrorists out of their country.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sweeping a place they believe terrorists live mm-hmm. in the Somalia area of mm-hmm. Kenya
gotcha.
And different towns and so forth. And so thank you for clarifying, because mm-hmm. I know I'm not saying everything correctly.
Well, I'm trying to follow. Yeah,
I appreciate it.
So the Somalia area of Kenya, where the Somalis gather.
Yes.
Okay.
This one city, and I can't remember the
and
city.
And what's happening is, there's Somalian terrorists in this, right? Okay.
Well, I mean, because there's terrorist attacks happening,
mm-hmm.
they haven't said anything in the story that they know, like Abdi
right.
knows. They don't know any terrorists
right.
that happening where they're at.
Right.
But they're also afraid to leave. You know, Abdi and his brother are also afraid to leave their apartment for fear of being caught and taken out the street,
and to have that extra pressure of wanting to come to America so
yes.
bad, not to have anything screw that up.
Now, there's one piece of paper that he does not have yet, and that is he's not been vetted by the police station yet.
Mm-hmm.
And now, we can understand why. First off, mm-hmm. he has to leave his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Second off, he has to then go to the police station.
Yeah, like, well, that's something I want to do.
That's something I want to do.
Yeah.
And so he just decides, it's like 45 days before he has his meeting at the embassy, and he just decides to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and they said, and he goes and gets one police officer, and he's not very friendly and not very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, it could take 5 months to get this back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, my God, I don't have 5 months.
Right.
And he knows from past experiences that if you miss your meeting, you're done. This is
there's second chances.
Nope, no second chances.
Wow.
So then he decides that he's going to go back every chance he gets to hopefully get somebody else. You know, he applied. He has no real hope at this moment. You know, he has applied. He's waiting for it to come, but he's also going to come back every month, every day he can, as much as he can.
And to try and get this...
this form.
Okay.
And maybe he'll get a different person that will just take care of it right there and then.
I see.
And finally, like after several different times trying, he gets the paperwork. And he's like, oh, my gosh, I got this. And he gets home.
Yay.
And we're like cutting close, like 10, 15 days left before he has his meeting.
Is this with America?
With the U.S. Embassy. Mm-hmm. Now, what also is interesting is that it costs money to do this.
It does?
The interview costs $300.
Oh, my God.
$300
plus. This is crazy. And of the 100,000 all worldwide, how many got picked in Kenya or Somalia?
I don't know.
Is he like the only one?
I have no idea. It's just one following.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, to this whole story, we learn that in the States, he did an interview 2 years before with someone, and it was brought upon, on NPR. And so he's kind of, he's got some chops, And
you're talking about Abdi.
Yep.
Okay.
Abdi did an interview on NPR
really?
A couple years ago. I don't know what about, but at that time, a woman heard him and wrote to him saying, I would like to help you with anything, like however I can.
Mm-hmm.
And she
From America,
from Maine, actually. And she became his little venture capitalist. Venture capitalist. A little angel investor.
Oh, meaning she gave him the $300?
Maybe she gave him the $300, but all along the way, she would send him money.
Uh-huh.
Here and there.
God bless her heart.
I know. God bless her heart. How awesome is she?
Mm-hmm.
She just heard the interview, said, how can I help you? And he's like, maybe send me money once in a while. Not mm-hmm. a lot, just a little bit here and mm-hmm. there would go pretty far for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, done. Great. Awesome.
Wow.
So she sends him the money. And
wow.
I know, because how else would
that
he have done
so
it?
That is so cool.
It is so cool. And so he goes to the meeting finally. He finally gets able to, a day has come. He gets there early. He looks great. And he tells the reporter, they're going to come back and throw everything around in my apartment because it's the best day of my life. I'm going to come back and throw everything around in my apartment because it's the worst day of my life.
What?
Okay.
You mean either he gets accepted or he doesn't?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm bad to read between the lines there. Okay.
Mm. And you did very well with
Thank
that.
Thank you.
So he goes, and he comes back, and he talks to the reporter, and he was rejected. He was declined.
Oh, my God.
And the reason why is that he didn't have one of his referrals signed by his teacher. They didn't just forget to sign it, and he didn't look closely enough. So all the paperwork was done, but one signature was missing from a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and he said, yeah, very, very sad. And I'm like, oh, please don't leave us hanging. Oh, no. And so, but at this point, so he has given up, but they did say, go ahead, have it signed, sent back to us, and we'll then look at your visa application at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to come back in again.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving up, but he will go and do that. And he does do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends it back in, and, a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by, and he doesn't know. He thinks nothing is going to happen and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But our reporter, on the other hand, he gets an email, and it's from the U.S. government saying, You've been accepted. We've approved your visa, and you are going to America.
What?
I know. So they approved him after he got his paperwork in, finally. And
wow, so they made an exception.
They made a quote-unquote exception. And they won't say that, though. But what happened was that the reporter, and the Abdi did not know this, but the reporter calls up the U.S. Embassy saying, I'm running a story about Abdi Noor, and he applied, but he was rejected. And I'm wondering what the status of that is, so I can kind of put that in my story.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, let's look into that. And he said the next day he got the email, and he was accepted.
Wow.
Now, he called back saying, was that me calling you? Was that a reason why he got accepted?
The reporter?
Yes.
Okay.
The reporter says, hey, me calling the embassy, talking to you guys, was that the reason why Abdi got his visa? They said, no, had nothing to do with it,
mm-hmm.
just interesting timing.
Mm.
And he goes, the reporter says, I was talking around, and he says, no, it was me calling because this doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
And what mostly probably happened was because I called, his paperwork got to the top of
mm-hmm.
the bunch
mm-hmm.
and so forth.
Mm.
And he said, what would have happened if I wouldn't have called?
Wow.
Who knows? And
wow.
I did not want to affect the outcome.
I really didn't. Oh, wow.
In some ways, though, because you don't know,
mm-hmm.
what if he took a spot from
mm-hmm.
the person below him?
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know how that all works out. But
so did he come to America then? Or
yes, he did.
And how long ago was this?
This was just last year.
Oh, my gosh.
And so
where did he come to? What
he
part?
Went to Maine.
Oh, to see lady, his angel?
And he's living with that family.
Oh.
And he is installing insulation and construction right now. And he's, you know, so there's, and I wanted to find out more about this woman who was his money angel in some sense.
Yes, definitely.
Because, boy, you know, she didn't know she'd ever get him over to the United States. It wasn't part of that. It was it was completely a lottery. Mm-hmm. And he really wanted to go. I mean, he knew from day one he was going sometime, somewhere. And, you know, I hear his story and I feel like, okay, this law of attraction, is this God working in miracles, and it just took this long for all the pieces to be together, you know.
And then you know, and just to hear he's in construction, you know.
Yeah.
I thought maybe teaching or some, you know, something.
Well, he wants to go back to school in America.
How old is the dude?
Practicing. Early 20s. I don't recall, but definitely early 20s.
Mm-hmm. He definitely has some sort of, you know, angel on his shoulder.
For sure. For sure. Because growing up in Somalia, I mean, the one thing he talked about in Somalia, that if you didn't pick sides, you'd be killed. And either you're working for the government or you're working for the, for the, you know, and the other side, the terrorists, I mean, you just don't know. And if you don't pick a side, you're going to be killed. And so he needed to get away from that. And luckily for him, he was able to. And during his time when he was kind of hiding in his apartment, in some ways, like the Jews in Germany, are and,
like Corrie ten Boom hiding Jews
exactly
in Denmark or wherever, Amsterdam.
Yeah, he said there were there were weeks we were just eating a little bit of bread and tea all day long. You know, we just keep water. And the interesting thing they said about Kenya and is that certain things might not be consistent. You know, you might not have a lot of this or this, but
What'd you say?
That you might not have a lot of food or a lot of this, but the wireless service in these countries, some of these countries and some of these cities in these countries, is really dependable.
Wow.
Yes. So if you can get yourself a computer, typically the wireless is for everybody. You can download movies. You can see stuff.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Yes, it's just, you know, mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling, and I think that in itself is pushing the change in these countries because the world is no longer that small. Like, well,
you know,
why
what I'd like to do? I mean, hearing this story, and I don't know if you have more to tell, but it's like I would like to be that lady in Maine. I'd like to.
I do.
What if every family in the United States had a another person or somebody?
Well, don't they have like sister towns where like a town would say, "Well,
sure,
yeah." Something
but is
like that.
Is that something you can, oh, okay, that's cool. That's
no,
cool.
I don't know. I would like to know about that.
Yeah.
I know you can do it for children, right? There's a children fund where they set you up with a child in need, and you write to them, they write to you. But honestly, I wouldn't mind taking care of a mother, you know, that a mom that had two kids, you know, and if
I mean, it's kind of interesting because it's like, you know, in a different country, like I was, we were going through Culver's the other day, which is like a, it's like kind of an upper scale burger joint, right? And they had this sign on that said, "All the proceeds from the money that we make on this day, from like 4 to 10, goes to support our local," and it's called Buddy Bags. I know that sounds like body bags, which is very weird, right? But it's called Buddy Bags, and it's for local children who. They get two meals at school, you know, 5 days a week. But on weekends, they go hungry. So it's to provide them, it's called, you know, buddy bags, like bags of food for the weekend. And so, I had never heard of that, charity before, and I certainly wanted to find out more. So it's like, do I spend money going local, you know, and helping local children, or now do I go to Kenya or some other place and support a person? You know, it's just like I got too many people wanting part of my dollars.
I know. Girlfriend, I don't know what to do with that yet because I go back and forth, because here this woman every dollar she gives,
yes,
100%,
100%
goes to helping the person in need.
Exactly. And I understand that because I, like a lot of the money that I give away, probably doesn't.
Well, I remember hearing that story. You said this woman was talking about how grateful she was that she was so abundant and she was running this charity. And the charity needed to have this beautiful house to have function.
For their soiree.
Yeah, for their function. Mm-hmm. And it took care of the house payment and it took care of her. I'm like,
that didn't sound like much of a charity.
I'm thinking, I just don't know if I want to give to a place where I got to pay for you to live in a nice upscale house.
Right.
I mean,
that's
what I'm doing?
Exactly.
I'd rather just give my money directly to the person in need.
That's really true, isn't it? I mean,
and yeah, I know that there are jobs to be had at charities. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's cool too. You mm-hmm. know, I get that. Mm-hmm. But when you hear these stories, that it really is a...
Like we were given some, I can't remember when, we were giving some things away in the garage, and we have these kind of like insulated coolers that when we get our meat, like from Omaha Steaks, mm-hmm. we had about, I don't know, four or five or six of them, and we had brought something in the coolers, and the guy that worked there said, "Wow, are you donating this?" And he was like ecstatic to get this cooler.
Right.
This guy was, and he was just a worker at this charity, and he said, "Could I have it?" And we go, "Well, sure." We got a couple more at home, and it's like, "Oh my God, my buddies! They're gonna think I'm so cool because we go fishing on the weekends to get our food for the week, and we can put our fish in these coolers." And I was like, I was so happy that I had that direct contact.
Yeah.
Where I made
someone
one person's life better.
Yes,
happy.
Made one person's life better and happy. And really, aren't those perfect fish, by the way?
Yes.
They are so perfect. They probably float in the river, too. I mean, you know, I can see them. I can see them just keeping them in the river to keep them cool, you know? Or, I don't know.
he was jonesing on it.
He really
sure.
was. But there is something sweet about having that direct connection.
Yes.
But you're right. I mean, Kiva.org is about loans, and that's cool, too. But I wouldn't mind just say, hey, $10 a week, a month,
right.
$20 a month.
Right.
What would turn you on? What would, you know, what can I do that I could do consistently? And
yes. Do you ever see somebody that you, I want to talk first off, Kiva.org is Kiva, K-I-V-A.org is a fabulous, now I don't know what percentage, but I know that they make microloans.
Yes.
And they make it specifically to women because they have, over the course of the decades, have found that if they give these microloans to men, the men just spend the money on literally booze,
yes,
women, cigars. But a woman will actually create like a little micro business.
Yeah, I think they've changed it slightly.
Have they?
Because I have seen men on there. And maybe they opened it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe they got a little trouble for that. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But that's really what the statistics say, that if you give it to a woman, a mother specifically, she'll spend it on things that can create a business.
And they do. And then they pay that loan back, and they'll give it to them again. And
yeah.
I mean, it really works. But, for example, there's this lady. She's an older lady in Oregon that I see. That's a town up. And I don't every time I see her, I am just compelled. I have no idea why I want to give her $20. And do you ever have people like that you see sort of over and over again, that you're just compelled to give them money?
No, yeah, sometimes. You know, I know who you're talking about, mm-hmm. and I just don't know how we give it to her. That's
right.
The weird thing.
Yeah, no, but I mean, but when sometimes the spirit just overtakes you.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can have like 10 people, you know, in front of me, but there'll be one that I just like, oh man, you got to give that person $20. You got to, you know. I have that happen.
I know, and how do we do it? Because otherwise it's going to be, you're not listening to your spirit.
Well, like one time I saw this one person and I just put it in their windshield wiper.
Oh, that was smart.
Yeah, yeah. But this other lady, she doesn't have a car. I just see her on the park bench, you know.
So like you made like an airplane, like a paper airplane. You just like throw it to her.
I walk by her and just go, oh, did you just drop this?
Yeah, did you drop this $20?
She goes, no. Oh, yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Well, it's yours now if you want it.
Yeah. Well, like that one guy that has, I think he's got like a little mobility cart, but he pulls a little wagon with his little border collie in
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes.
I always want to give him $20, too.
He's just going, you're just sweet, and you're out there living your life, and why are you compelled to give him $20, though? What's compelling you?
I don't know. I just had this, and really, what's that going to do? But I just think, you know what, if somebody just handed me $20, it'd make my day.
Well, you know,
why not? For no reason at all?
Yeah. I gave somebody $20 the other day. Oh, this was a while ago, mm-hmm. 6 to 8 weeks ago. It was for a reason, but it made his day. I had locked my keys. My doors have gotten old, and you know, I had locked my keys in the car,
mm-hmm.
but I had one key to the trunk, and I'm like, I'm not going to get into the trunk and open the door from the inside, but
right.
it's possible.
Right.
It's possible. And I'm at the gas station, and sure enough, I'm like, you know, 5'9". You know, I'm not petite in any way. And I see these two guys come, an older man, like 60 or like 40, but a rough 40. You know?
That old guy.
And then like a 20-year-old walking towards me,
mm-hmm.
and they're petite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 20-year-old, probably 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, interesting.
And I'm like, and I said, hey, I could use your help. You want to make $20? I go, and he goes, what do you need? I go, I have lots of my keys in the door and a car, and I need somebody to go through my trunk.
Uh-huh.
And I go, but I can't do it.
Right.
And they're like,
right.
He goes, and you'll give me $20 for it? I go, it'll be my pleasure to give you $20 to do this for me.
Aww.
And he goes, sure.
He was so happy.
he was happy.
Yeah, see, it's just enough to make you just, you know, feel like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
you know?
Like it'd be my pleasure. I don't have to call the locksmith or anybody.
I'm also thinking of a time that you gave, was it Dave or somebody for their birthday? You gave them money, but they had to give it away or how?
Well, yeah,
there was some kind of, you had some kind of rules about
right.
it.
Right. Well, I just feel like giving gifts to adults who have jobs is, unless you know specifically what they want and you can give it to
yeah,
them.
I mean, he's like a principal of a school.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give you, you know? I mean, and so I heard on NPR or someplace that at a certain age, when you get money and you spend it on yourself, it doesn't mean that much to you, like
mm-hmm.
as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get money and you spend it on somebody else particularly to make them happier,
mm-hmm.
it means more to you.
Okay, so you gave him a gift that was... The condition was he had to spend it on somebody to make them happy.
Yes.
Cool. Now, and didn't he texted you or something that what he did with the
yes,
money?
Yes, he took the money, and first he wanted to pawn the $5, or I think it was $5, maybe more like $10, off on you one time because I had just seen him, and then he saw you in the car. He's
mm-hmm.
like, hey, I want $10? I'm like, you can't just give it to my mom. That's not... And not for any reason. That's just crazy. And then he goes,
I would have taken it.
Yeah. I'm like, I should give it to my mom then and get like bonus points for it. And then he texts me saying he bought a ukulele for his niece and that money went towards it. I'm like, yeah, that's perfect.
Perfect.
And then he goes, I tried to explain it to my niece what had really happened and she didn't really get it.
Nobody got it.
Yeah. But it was still, I mean, it was, what was nice, it was a thing. It was an event.
Right,
and it made me happy.
Right,
you know, it made me happy.
It does. I mean, it's just these little tiny acts.
Yes.
Right.
So, can I quickly finish my story before time runs out? Because we're getting close to time.
Oh,
running out.
Wow. Okay. Sure. Yeah.
So, anyway, Abdi Noor, he's in Maine right now. He's working in construction, and him and his girlfriend didn't work out. And the reason why is that he asked, when he got to America, he asked the question, would you still be dating me if I didn't win the lottery and didn't make it to America? And she said no.
Ooh.
And he goes, thank you for being honest with me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not going to date you anymore. I'm like, oh, girlfriend, come on, really?
Aww.
I know. But he was okay with that.
Yeah.
And he said...
maybe there's just different rules there.
Yeah, but being honest and moral compass and so forth. But he says that, Abdi goes, you know, there are times I really miss my friends and family because I don't have that here.
Wow.
But it's so weird because I will call my friends and we'll talk on the computer and they're saying, or I'll get an email saying, we're having tea and we're saving you a cup right now of tea. And at that same time, I'm drinking a cool latte from Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts. And he goes, and so we're kind of sitting down, and cops, police officers will come in, and they'll say, "Hi, how you doing?" to me. And, you know, we're,
oh,
and
wow.
goes, we're and in Kenya, I was so afraid of police all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, so, and he said, he goes, the weirdest thing he said so far was that his mailbox is across the street.
His what?
His mailbox.
Oh.
From his town, you know, where he lives in a little house with his family.
Right,
you know, is
right.
You know, across the street is a mailbox. And he said, "I'm just so shocked that my mailbox is across the street because I'm waiting for my permanent work visa and I'm waiting for my Social Security card."
Mm.
And it's just going to be in the box across the street. Anybody could take it. Because I'm like, God, I don't even know what to do about it. I'm like waiting and watching for the mail all the time. And, you know, yes, we have identity thefts here. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, probably, I mean, in some ways, we have this level of security and trust in our lives that people probably in other countries have no idea.
Right, right.
And yet they're still able to find joy. They're still able to express happiness,
right?
And try to pick pleasure out of life.
Yeah, and happy to come to America.
Happy to come to America.
Our friend was had a different experience, and it is what it is what you make it, isn't it?
It is, and yet I guess coming from Canada, which is kind of like mini U.S. I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. it's a little different story. But coming from war-torn Somalia, having to fight your way to Kenya, then having to fight your way to the U.S.
From Canada.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It's a different perspective, for
I guess
sure.
It is.
Different perspective, for sure. So I know I've talked completely this whole show, and I know we don't have much time, but
good story, though.
Yeah.
I have lots of questions about it. Maybe you can do some more research. Like, I want to know, of those 100,000, are they divided, you know, is it really just a lottery where, or is it like, 10,000 come from this continent?
I can find out.
Yeah.
And also, what if they know nobody in the States?
Right.
Do they have churches or people saying, "I'm willing to take a person?
Yeah, exactly.
And how do we know about this stuff?
Right.
Because I wouldn't mind helping.
Right.
If that's possible. And that, like, that money angel from Maine.
Yes.
God bless her soul.
Right. Could Abdi come live with us? We've got a room over the garage.
If necessary.
Yeah.
Maybe he's tired of the winters in Maine. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, like the ones in Illinois or any better.
Yeah, like really lately. that's another story, because I've been hearing that we're going through a cooling trend and...
Well, it's like 94 here. I don't see that.
Well, I mean, the sun is cooling down a little bit, not having these hot flashes.
Going through menopause.
Going through menopause, and so we may have a mini ice age, as this one guy said.
Mm.
And that's why they're no longer saying
global warming,
but global climate change.
Global climate, you've got to be careful.
And they also said make sure you have a year of food in hand. A year of food.
And then these people in Kenya, we can have a piece of bread and a little cup of tea.
I know. Exactly. We'll figure it out, won't we?
God bless us all.
God bless us all.
Mm-hmm.
And so my story, we really don't have much time about my story, but it all worked out how I was in God's Word all morning long on Saturday for about 4 hours, it seemed like, feeling just so positive and really feeling law of attraction-wise, even if you want to do that, just completely content with life.
Mm-hmm.
Like positive, hopeful,
yeah.
Sweet, like, oh, this is awesome. And going to a party, and my boyfriend just like, knock it off.
What is wrong with you?
I go, I'm always nice. I go, yeah, I know you're always nice. I go, no doubt about it, but you have really taken it to another level.
What are you doing?
I go, I'm balancing out. You.
I remember one time Norm came home and he was so happy. He'd been on the road for several days, and our security cop in our little complex, he ran into him, you know, just, and the guy goes, he must be drunk because he's so happy. He must be drunk.
Yeah,
like, meaning Norm.
Yeah, I'm like, he just got off of work driving.
He's just happy.
Yeah.
Because he's coming home after several days.
Yeah, and he's seeing his wife.
So some people think you're drunk. Something's got to be wrong with you if you're just happy, happy, happy.
If you just got the Holy Spirit in you.
That's right.
What are you going to do? That's why they say you're not of this world, but Not in this world, but other world. How does it go?
I forget how that works.
You can be in the world, but not of the world.
Right, that's it.
Yes.
And also because they think you're strange. People think you're strange if you're that happy.
People are strange.
When they are strangers.
That's right.
Something like that. I don't know.
Well, it's been fascinating, girlfriend, finding out all this stuff and about the lottery and about your birthday party. I can honestly say it was great.
It was great.